Well, I can see by the drop in the study of Psalms from last Sunday that people just weren't that interested in the Psalms. We hadn't even got to the good part. But let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves with believers for the purpose of the study of your Word. And even in an outline and understanding way of the book of Psalms, we pray that God the Holy Spirit will cause us to understand truths that are herein. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, first thing I want to do tonight is not apparently, I left out a section of notes in regard to the breakdown of the book of Psalms. Point one, you recall, we dealt with title. Point two, its place in the Bible. Point three, we dealt with the dates, the date of the writing. And then point four, we noted the organization of the book of Psalms. And that's where we got into the books, each of the books that are in the book of Psalms, five books. And I gave a development, and so we covered that, but I really didn't cover some of the understanding of how they're categorized and why the breakdown. And somebody asked me, so I appreciated the question, and which showed that somebody at least is doing some thinking, why the breakdown. So let's go back, if you will. You can't go back, I guess, in your notes, but this will go under that study of the breakdown of the books of the Bible, or the books of Psalms. And so let's just turn once again to Psalm chapter 1, get oriented to what I'm talking about. Psalm chapter 1, you should understand the book that you carry around and value so deeply. And if you look at Psalm 1, or the Psalms, it says book 1. And you will recall that we have five books. Very quickly, the outline, Psalm 1 through 41, composes book 1. And then you'll find at the beheading of chapter 42, before 42, book 2, and that covers Psalm 42 through 72. Then book 3, Psalm 73 to 89. Book 4, 90 to 106. And book 5, 107 to 150. So this is the breakdown of those books. And then we took up the development of the stages. First of all, of course, is the doctrine of inspiration, the writing by the various authors, and then the compiling. And we do not know all of the history of this, but apparently it related to the temple, and they started pulling these things together for singing and for the praise and things that are developed in them. And then apparently somewhere along the line, someone divinely inspired gathered them up into the various books, because it does show an ingenious work in regard to the dividing up. Once again, the division by these books is not inspired in the technical sense of inspiration under our dogmatic inspiration that we have. Therefore, what I'm about to give you, again, is categorical, not arbitrary, because there is the theme in all of these, but you have to understand that. For an example, tonight we're going to note different categories of psalms, like lament psalms, messianic psalms, psalms of praise. You'll find these in each of the books. So they'll cross, each of these categories of psalms will cross in all of the books. But you have a theme and a concept in each of these sections. And that's what I apparently left out, or I did leave out in when we studied the breakdown of the book of Psalms. So please understand what we're doing is just that when you read the book of Psalms for various psalms for your own edification, this, the more you can learn about it, the more you can understand, the more you'll be able to appreciate any of the psalm that you might read at various times in your life, day in and day out. So let's get to work under point one, or the book one. Under book one, these are Psalms 1 through 41, and you have in this area, man. Now, there's a lot of different ways I can do this. Let me go through, first of all, the broad title, and then we'll come back and I'll break it down more and show you. The first book one concentrates with man. Book two, you'll find a general motif, concentration on Israel. Book three, concentration on the sanctuary, the abode of God. Book four, the earth, things related and psalms that have a lot to deal with the earth. Book five, the Word of God, Bible doctrine. So that gives you a very broad feel and scope of what we're looking for. Now let's go back to book one and dealing with man. It deals with his state of blame, how he is blamed, how he is fallen. It deals with his recovery, deals with his blessings, deals with a lot of things, all of the categories in man's relationship with God. It has been broken down. These are things that I got in seminary. You can take them, and like I said, they're just a guide. I'm not don't apologize for giving it to you, but it's a very broad type of thing to do, but that's what we're doing in the introduction to the Psalms. So this is divided furthermore into three general categories. One, man blessed. Two, by the way, and that's the first psalm. Only one fits into that. Two, man fallen from his high position and at enmity with God. That would be Psalms 2 through 14. And then three, man restored by the Lord, by his Redeemer, and that would take you up through 41. Now, just to get a feel of what I've just given you, the first section, the first book, and if you wanted to, write in your Bibles, and you could put by book one, man. That's going to be the thrust of all of them. And just to show you the wisdom of the compiling of these things, let's open the Word of God and note some of these things as we go through. All right, look at verse 1. Book 1, Psalm 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man. See, this is the general concept of man, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. See, the last section deals with the Word of God, but it's going to be the main thrust all the way through these. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields. And then it just goes through dealing with man. So verse 1, how blessed is man. Now look at the second psalm. We go from the man in general, we go to man collective. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising vain things? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. So you go from the first psalm, the blessed state of man in his relationship to the Word of God and God himself and the Lord, to the rebellion of man in chapter 2. Look at the third psalm. Third psalm, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. So now we get to the enemies. Many are rising up against me. The whole thing through this section is man and you and what's going on in your life and your world and your relationship with God. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. So when you read these, you become aware of very personal things that are very personally related between you and God. Look at Psalm 4. Answer me when I call. See, it's me. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast relieved me in my distress. Continue to be gracious to me and hear my prayer. And so the consciousness is of man. Look at Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groanings. Heed the counsel of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to Thee do I pray. In the morning, O Lord, Thou wilt hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to Thee. And eagerly watch. That's watching for an answer. And so they all start or have in them the whole dependence upon man. Look at Psalm 9. Let's just skip or work our way a little bit. Another area that dealing with man, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my hope. I will tell of all thy wonders. I will be glad and exalt thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O Most High. See, so different concepts, and that's why I said you'll find each of the different kinds of psalms that we'll study, lament, praise, messianic, in all of these, in each of the books. But they're going to come at it from different emphasis. Look at Psalm 11. In the Lord, I take refuge. So as you can read through these and gain a lot and understand a lot about yourself and about the plan of God. So in the Lord, I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrows upon the string. So he's dealing with himself and the refuge that he's going to take in the Lord. Look at Psalm 12, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear among the sons of men. So he goes through and it's still dealing with the help in regard to himself. Look at Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted above me, over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have overcome him. Lest my adversaries rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in thy grace. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation, thy deliverance. And I will sing praise to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Again, dealing with the individual. Psalm 14. The fool, another concept of man. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's Abel, by the way, whom Abigail married. The name is the same, not the reference. There is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. And then he goes through and deals with that segment of man. Psalm 15. We're not going to go through all of them. Don't get frightened. But Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? See, dealing with what manner of man is it? What manner? The issue is the man. What manner of man can abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity, righteousness, and justice. That's adjustment to the justice of God, and works righteousness, speaks doctrine in his soul. There's the great issue, by the way, in the soul. He does not slander with his tongue, maligning, gossip, slander, running people down. Nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a reproach, a reprobate, is despised. But who honors those who fear the Lord? He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Dealing with man, dealing with the individual and his relationship with God. Verse 16, or chapter 16, Psalm 16. Preserve me, still me, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in thee. I said to the Lord, thou art my Lord. I have no good besides thee. All of these profound theology related to man and his relationship to God, his relationship to others, and his relationship to himself. All of these are the ways that you academically study the Psalms. And you will see all of these things in every one of the Psalms. It's either as he relates to other people who are negative, people who are positive, as he relates to the Lord himself, and as he relates to his own self, what's going on inside of him. So this is a beautiful section of the Psalms to which you can study, when this is the area of your life that is in some need of tranquility by just reading the Word of God. You'll have an idea of what section to turn to. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in Thee. I said to the Lord, Thou art my Lord. I have no good besides Thee. There's no good, there's nothing worthy in me but You. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Then he goes through and continues that development of that thought. Psalm 18. Another aspect of the individual and his relationship with the Lord. I love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. You can tell at this point that the writer, David, is under great strain and under great pressure. And it's just constant, over and over. It's the concept that you have an occupation with Christ under pressure, that it's your relationship with the Lord, not man. Man is deceitfully wicked, and man will betray you, and cursed is man who trusteth in man. But the words just jump right out in that personal relationship of the Christ-centered life. I love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. By the way, do not be sure you understand the break. He says, my God. That's the authority. That's the relationship. Then he says, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn. And you have to pause if we were exegeting the psalm and go through each one of these and what it means in a personal relationship in the Christ-centered life. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from mine enemies. And then he goes through and develops the things that are dealing with between himself and other people and himself and the Lord. Look at Psalm 20. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you secretly on high. May he send you from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill your courage, your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. There's so much to understand about the Psalms. There's so much to be reaped from it. Just from what we have studied, you should learn as you go through the Psalms. You should use the Psalms as a guide on how to pray in regard to yourself in various circumstances, in regard to other people. People say, I don't know how to pray. Well, the Word of God, the book of Psalms, is an excellent teaching ground. And you will go through just for chapter Psalm 20, deals with man, but it deals with somebody else in your periphery, a friend or a family member, whatever the case may be, and you want to be in prayer. This is a great guideline in constructing you, directing you on how to pray for other people and how to speak to other people. Turn to Psalm 33 as we close out Book 1. Psalm 33. All right, Psalm 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Sing praises. Then he keeps going through. He loved, verse 5, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of grace of the Lord. And then he just keeps going through. Look at 34. All right, 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous ones. Chapter 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We'll come to that in our study on picking a right man and a right woman. What a phenomenal way in regard to choosing a right man and right woman and asking someone to adjourn you in the short time that you have on earth and fulfilling your destiny in Jesus Christ. right from the Word of God. All right, look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 1. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. So here it's a relationship between the enemies, his relationship with the enemies, and his relationship with the Lord. Verse 2, take hold of buckler and shield and rise up for my help and say to my soul, I am your deliverance. So it goes through and he's dealing with himself in the midst of the crisis. Chapter 36, transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, still dealing with man, for it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceit. So he keeps going through dealing with the thought of man. Chapter 37, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Now he's dealing with other people, other believers, their relationship to the world, their relationship to God. Again, you can use the Psalms to learn in reference to praying for other people, communicating with other people, and in your own prayers directed toward the Father. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do his righteous way. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. This was a psalm that we studied in the Satisfied Life. Psalm 38, continuing the man motif of this book. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, and chasten me not in thy burning anger. For thine arrows have sunk deep into me, and thy hand has pressed down upon me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. It's in the sense of rebound, in the sense of just talking with God in regard to maladjustment and reversionism. Psalm 39, I said I will guard my ways, constantly me. I said I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. While the wicked are in my presence, I'll keep my mouth shut. I was dumb and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, my destiny. And what is the extent of my days? Let me know how transient I am. And dealing just the total relationship, again, of the person and the Lord. Look at verse 7 of Psalm 39. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My confidence is in thee. Deliver me from my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the fool. Verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner like all my fathers. Turn thy gaze away from me, that I may smile again before I depart and am no more. All right, Psalm 40 to complete it. I, still the man oriented, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. And continuing that through. And then finally, of course, Psalm 41. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. In his illness, thou dost restore him to health. And as for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Hear my soul, for I have sinned against thee. So almost any and every occurrence that you would want from life, you're going to receive in the study of the Psalms, particularly in those Psalms that deal with the person. Now, the second book is the book of Israel, dealing with various aspects of Israel's history. Chapters 41, this covers 42 through 72. It's also broken down by people who do this type of thing. I'll be honest with you, I don't even know who did this. So it was notes given to us in seminary, and if I had to give credit, I'd just have to say notes from seminary and where we received these. All right. Israel, the Psalms dealing with Israel. First of all, her ruin. However, I don't think anyone really, this is the kind of common thing in any introduction to the book of Psalms. So I don't think anyone receives credit for it anymore. It's reached that point. Israel, her ruin, her decline, that's chapters 42 through 49. And then her Redeemer, the Redeemer of Israel, chapter 50 through 60. And then chapters 61 through 72, her redemption. So her ruin, her Redeemer, her redemption. And you can go through, and each of these have something to do with that segment in the history of Israel. The third book, Psalm 73 through 89. Psalm 73 through 89. This deals with the sanctuary or the abode of God. The sanctuary has something to do in each of these psalms with the sanctuary or the abode of God. The sanctuary is mentioned, referred to, as I've said, in almost every one of these, and it relates to understanding where God is and a worship of God in that regard. Let's just note a few of them. Psalm 73. Turn to Psalm 73 so that we can deal with the area of praise, because remember, that's what the word Psalms means, is praise. All right. Look at Psalm 73, verse 17. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived therein. See, verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of thy children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Until I came into thy sanctuary, to the sanctuary of God, then I perceived therein. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. And then he goes on to explain what he's learned from the sanctuary. Look at 74. 74, let's just begin reading. O God, why hast thou rejected us forever? Why dost thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, which thou hast redeemed in the tribe of thine inheritance, and Mount Zion, where thou hast dwelt. Mount Zion is a place of dwelling, but look at verse 3. Turn thy footsteps toward the perpetual ruins. The enemy has damaged everything within the sanctuary. So this deals with the abode and where God is. Look at verse 7. They have burned thy sanctuary to the ground. They have defiled the dwelling place of thy name. So you can learn a lot about yourself because your body is a sanctuary. You can learn about the history of Israel, even though the other section dealt with Israel. But in reference to the placement of God, where God could be found, where God could be worshipped, is found in this section. Look at chapter 76. Chapter 76. God is known to Judah. Where is he known? In the sanctuary. Sometimes the word sanctuary won't be used, but you'll pick up the motif if you understand what to look for in the book 2 or book 3. God is known in Judah. His name is great in Israel. And his tabernacle, that's the temple, that's his sanctuary. And his tabernacle is in Salem, his dwelling place also in Zion. There he broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword, and the weapons of war. And continuing with that idea, a look at 78. 78. Listen, O, verse 1, listen, O people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth and prayer. And then he goes through. Now look down at verse 6. Look down at verse, wait a minute, He deals in this one with finding and listening to Israel. Turn over to 69, this verse 69. Verse 69. Verse 65 begins this portion of the emphasis. Then the Lord awoke as if from sleep, like a warrior overcome by wine, and he drove his adversaries backward. Boy, that illustration would, if you had made an analogy today to some people of God being as a warrior, drunken with wine, waking up, well, they'd have a fit. But you have to be careful in doing that. I'm not exhorting you to be foolish in your analogies, but this is the Word of God, and it's a troublesome sight when a big warrior starts waking up and becomes awakened from the wine and ready now to conquer. All right, like a warrior overcome by wine. And he drove his adversaries backward. He put on them an everlasting reproach. He also rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he has founded forever. He also chose David, his servant. So it deals with the whole area of the election and the choosing of God, dealing with his own sanctuary. All right, let's move to the fourth book. The fourth book deals with the earth. The fourth book deals with the earth. And this is book 90 through 106. Let me give you the breakdown of this book in the Psalms. One, the blessings needed of the earth, Psalm 90 through 94. This was written, most of these were written during the wanderings in the wilderness and captivity. Secondly, blessings anticipated, Psalm 95 to 100. And then blessings enjoyed, Psalm 101 to 106. Well, let's just pick up some of the psalms so that you'll see how the earth becomes now the great issue, the angelic conflict, and where man is centered. Turn to Psalm 90. Turn to Psalm 90, written by Moses. Psalm 90, all right, it deals with the earth. Just to kind of pull the verses that we're interested in, for our emphasis. Lord, thou, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, mountains deal with the earth. Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and to the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So it relates the total activity of the earth, the creation of the earth, the purpose of the earth. Everything about the earth upon which you and I live is in the plan in the hands of God. You and I don't ever have to worry about the communists destroying it, or man, or anybody, some nut pushing a button and going to destroy the earth. Man is not going to destroy the earth. This is the power and the prerogative of God. He is the creator of the earth. It belongs to him. It is his earth. And therefore, it is his privilege and power to destroy the earth. Look at Psalm 92. We'll just kind of go through some of these. Psalm 92, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. This deals with man and the earth, man and his relationship to the earth, dealing with a breakdown of the Psalms, and we're in book 4, dealing with the emphasis of book 4 is the earth. All right, Psalm 92, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy grace in the morning and thy faith at night, with the ten-stringed lute and the harp, with the resounding music upon the lyre. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad by what thou hast done. I will sing for joy in the works of thy hands. How great are thy works, O Lord! Thy thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. That when the wicked sprouted up like grass, dealing with the earth, and all those who did inquire iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. Be thou, O Lord, high on high forever. Continuing dealing with it. Now verse 10. But thou hast exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with the oil. And continuing to go through in verse 12, he deals with Lebanon. He deals with the the courts of the temple. Verse 14 deals with the greenness of the earth, and all the way through it has some concept dealing with the earth. Psalm 93 verse 1, the Lord reigns in his he is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Here is the confidence in reference to the earth. Psalm 94, verse 2. Verse 1 says, O Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render recompense to the proud. So he judges everything that goes on in regard to the earth. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, we'll be looking at verse 4, but starting at verse 1. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come under his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry ground. Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his deliverance from day to day. So again, the call to the earth. Psalm 97. Psalm 97, we start right off with the earth in this area. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. He reigns over the earth. He rules over the rise and fall of nations and what happens in the individual's life. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations, foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him, burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and the earth trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heaven declared his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. So again, the constant motif of the earth, dealing with the earth. Psalm 98, again dealing with the earth. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his deliverance. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations, and he remembered his grace and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth that's seen it, therefore all the earth sing praise. Break forth and sing for joy, song, and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre, with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and all who dwells in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. So again, the total concept of the world. Just verse 1 in chapter 99. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Let the earth be aware of the greatness of God. Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. So this area, this book deals with that understanding. Then we come to the last book, book 5, and I certainly didn't mean for this to take this long, but I don't apologize. If it will help you when you read the Psalms at night or whenever you do in the morning, and to have a more and more understanding of what you're reading, they are I thoroughly enjoy reading the Psalms at various times when things are going on in my own life. And the more you understand of it, the more you can appreciate what you're reading and where to turn to. All right, the last book, book 5, which starts at Psalm 107, Let's start there. Just turn to Psalm 107 and we'll get started. Psalm 107, and you will see it says Book 5, and Book 5 deals with the Word of God. All the way through, the primary emphasis, the motif, is going to be the Word of God and the emphasis on God's Word. And when I did this, I neglected to show you why the books are broken down the way they were. And I'm glad somebody mentioned it, or I would have just gone on and forgotten it and left this out. And that's very important. Why do we have the books, and why are they broken down as you have them in the NASV? Somebody have the King James? Does it have Book 5? Does yours have Book 5 over here? It doesn't have it? Some of them do and some of them don't. Does yours? It does. Some of them will, some of them won't. Is yours a Scofield? Yeah. Is yours a Scofield? Yours isn't. Okay. Scofield probably picked it up then and went through it. I generally sometimes will check certain things with the King James, but I didn't do it on this. Okay. The last one deals with the Word of God is the main emphasis. So let's take a look at some of these Psalms. Psalm 107, look at verse 9. For He has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He has filled with what is good. And what is good, of course, is the Word of God. Verse 20, He sent, this is one of the greatest verses in all of the Psalms. In fact, you'll find, in my opinion, some of the greatest verses in the book of Psalms is found in Book 5, dealing with the importance of the Word of God to you in your life. And giving praise and thanking God for His Word is the whole concept of this. Sometimes I think believers want to give thanks to God for this and for that and everything else when they forget what's really important to their life in the area of thanksgiving and of praise. And here it's dealing with the Word of God. All right, verse 18, their soul abhorred all kinds of food, metabolized, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then verse 20, He sent His Word and helped them and delivered them from their destruction. What delivers us from our destruction is the Word of God. He sent His Word. This is the solution to the problems. Look at Psalm 108, verse 7. God has spoken in His holiness. The words of God are holy. They are agreeable with righteousness and justice. You can build theology out of the book of Psalms. God has spoken in His holiness. I will exalt. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valleys of Succoth. Look at Psalm 117. Look at Psalm 117. We'll be studying Psalm 117 again. While it looks very short to you, it's a classic example of a psalm that we'll be studying, and I thought we'd be studying it tonight. But just we're looking at it now for the emphasis of Book 5, dealing with Bible doctrine. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud Him, all peoples. For His grace is great toward us, and the doctrine of the Lord is everlasting. Therefore, praise the Lord. Just dealing with the principle of His Word. You don't know how to pray? Study the book of Psalms. Go through and learn how to pray. You'll learn what to pray for, what to give thanksgiving for. When we're through, you're going to know how to give a prayer of praise, a prayer, every kind of prayer that you could possibly want to pray in reference to the Lord, or God. You're going to be able to find it in the book of Psalms. Of course, the classic psalm is Psalm 119. Turn to it. Psalm 119. My goodness, almost every word, every verse, every line in Psalm 119. This is one of the greatest psalms. I've read this 1,000 times. This is one of the greatest psalms in all of the book of Psalms. And so let's note some of the things. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies. Almost every word for doctrine is given in Psalm 119. Who observe His testimonies, who seek Him. By the word testimonies refers to that doctrine which reveals Jesus Christ. Therefore, look how if you know what each of these words mean, and maybe so that you can appreciate it, I'll give it to you. Should have done that. But the word testimonies deals with testimony of the Messiah. So know what He's who seek Him. See, in other words, all I'm saying here is that the word chosen for doctrine is not arbitrary. The way that the psalmist has put this together is absolutely ingenious. And by the way, he is in great, great, great pain. He is being unbelievably abused, probably, and by some of them, even sexually abused. And yet he is able to think with such clarity and use the proper words for all these different words for song, for doctrine, in writing this. How blessed are those who observe, who look and watch his testimonies, reference to the Messiah, who seek him with all their soul. They also do unrighteousness. They walk, do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. See, his way and walking in unrighteousness. You walk the way of the Lord, you're going to walk in a way that is not going to take you into unrighteousness. Thou hast ordained, another word for doctrine, thou hast ordained thy precepts. See, another word, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Another word for doctrine. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look up. See, he's going back over, why are we fallen? Why has everything that's happened to us, why has it happened? And he's relating it all to every aspect of doctrine that he possibly can. Total violation of doctrine in every one of these. If he had done every one of these as a nation, then the nation would not have fallen and be taken away into captivity. Verse 6, then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon thy commandments. Another word. Verse 7, I shall give thanks to thee with an uprightness of heart when I learn, there's the great issue, learn doctrine. When I learn thy righteous judgments, another word for doctrine, I shall keep thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. See? Doctrine, all the way through. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments, the mandates that are given. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Again, learn and teach. He's got to understand. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances, another word, of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. As in testimonies, reference to Christ, that's more important to him than all riches, is to have a relationship with the Messiah. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight. Here's my pleasure, my inner happiness. My inner happiness is your word, statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Why? That I may live and keep thy word. Here's the reason for existence, the exaltation and the application of Bible doctrine. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. That's where I want to understand them. Not from the world, from thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide thy commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after thine ordinances at all times. Thou hast rebuked the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from thy commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe thy testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, thy servant meditates on thy statutes. See? All the way through, no matter what's happening, it's Bible doctrine that is the issue to him. Thy testimonies also are my delight, my pleasure, real happiness. I'm sorry, I don't have time for people who have to orient their life, and it's a chore to come to Bible class. It's never been a chore to me, and it's not a chore to anyone who loves the Word of God, period, over and out. And I'm getting ready to lay some stuff on about marriage and all of this stuff of hard work, and it's a challenge, and da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da. Well, the Word of God, I'm afraid, doesn't line up with that. And people talk about, there's a conflict in regard to the Word of God in your life. I'm not saying that. Getting to Bible class may be difficult because of the angelic conflict, but it's no chore to anyone who loves the Word to get there and study God's Word and understand God's Word. That's the great joy and pleasure. And it isn't some, well, I'm here, and I know I've got to be here, and I'm here, and I made it, and all that, and, you know, woe is me. No, I'm here, and it's a pleasure to listen to the teaching of the Word of God. And that's the attitude that we must have in regard to relationship with Christ. And we're going to find some other things out in our study on Thursday night of Song of Song about romance and about marriage and being a chore rather than a pleasure. Doesn't mean it will not be difficult, but the difficulty is well worth the joy of it. Verse 25, my soul, we're almost out of time anyway. We're not going to get any further, and I'm sorry. I'm not either. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me. Now, how's he revived? Revive me according to thy word. See? I have told of my ways, and thou hast answered me. Teach me thy statutes. See, mine and yours are in contrast. I want to know yours. Cause me to understand the way of thy precepts, so that I will meditate on thy wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to doctrine. Remove the false away from me, and graciously grant me thy law. You can just see it. Every other line deals with the word of God and what doctrine will do to him. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed thine ordinances before me. I cleave to thy testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my soul. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe the law. Keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to dishonest gain. In other words, the doctrine is more real than the things of the earth. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. Establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for me. Turn away my reproach while I dread, for thine ordinances, they are good. Behold, I long for thy precepts. Revive me through thy righteousness. I mean, it just goes on and on all the way through this. Look at 57, verse 57. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to thy word. I consider my ways and turn my feet to thy testimonies. In other words, I've considered my ways and they're nothing. I'm going to turn them to your ways and to your plan. Verse 64, the earth is full of thy grace, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. See, he wants to know the doctrine. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day. Thy commandments make me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thine ordinances, for thou thyself hast taught me how sweet, and that means sweet as the honey on the honeycomb through the ancient days, how sweet are the words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From the precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The word is a lamp to my feet, it is a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will confirm it, that I will keep thy righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy word. Well, I think you get the idea of the entire psalm. Look at Psalm 120. I mean, we could just continue reading Psalm 119, and every one of them is that idea. Look at Psalm 120, verse 7. I am for peace. This, by the way, I just pulled out for our study this morning. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. In other words, you and I don't cause the trouble, but when we speak divine viewpoint, we speak doctrine, when we reveal truth that is going to cause division, it's going to cause war, as we saw this morning. And then a Psalm 138, of course, one of the more familiar of these the passages dealing in this section to every one of us. Psalm 138, I will give thee thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to thee before the gods. I will bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy grace and for thy doctrine. for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for Bible doctrine. We are grateful, Father, for every segment, every portion, every word, every jot, every tittle that we have in your word. For your word, Heavenly Father, is the joy and the happiness of our life. There is no happiness outside of doctrine. No real inner happiness. Father, we enjoy the pleasures of the world, and we derive temporary pleasure and happiness from the honey, from chocolate, from things related to pleasure, things related to fun, from even from relationships. But there's no inner happiness outside of Bible doctrine. There's no joy in our life. There's no joy in the things that we have outside of your word. And this is our pleasure and our joy, not a chore, to assemble ourselves with other believers for the purpose of studying your word. We're not the issue of history. Jesus Christ and his word, they are the issue. It is our joy, our privilege, to put on the whole armor of God, to understand Bible doctrine and direct our lives into Christ-centered life by your word. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray and thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen.